will stand when we read the Word of God, and following that, I'm asking Brother Matt Postit to lead us to the throne of grace. Let us all stand, please. Hear the word of the Lord, please. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. May the blessing of the Lord attend the reading of his word as we have listened today. Will you sit down, please, and be led in prayer by our brother. Thank you.
Join with me as we pray to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the reading of the 30th Psalm, a thanksgiving psalm of David. How, Lord, you have blessed us with the word as our brother prayed earlier this morning. We thank you for giving it to us. Our God, we wish to pray to thee this morning and tell you specifically, directly, that we are not able of ourselves to accomplish anything of spiritual value, eternal value, unless it comes from thy hand. And so we ask, Lord, that you will help us this very morning in this service, that something that will last will be done here today. We also want to acknowledge, Lord, that we are not autonomous, self-ruling agents, but that, Lord, our Savior is the one who rules and ought to rule in our lives. We ask that you will help us in that way to have him, to acknowledge him, to act as if he is our Lord in practice as well as in theory. And so, Lord, we commit that need to thee this morning, a very desperate need in this day and age. Our God, I want to pray also for the opportunity that we have, not just today and this evening, but also this week, beginning on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and next Lord's Day, to hear our brother Monty Mills teach us from Galatians. We ask, Lord, that you will strengthen our brother and give him the words to say, give us the ears to hear, and may that ministry not fall upon deaf ears and not have a null effect, but that it would be profitable for this assembly. Lord, we pray for all of the events, the meals, the things all attending that seminar, that conference, that they will be glorifying to thy name. And now this morning, Lord, we also want to ask you on behalf of some of our friends and really family, spiritual family, who are not well today. We lift them up before thee, O God, on, as it were, by our hands, those of us who are well, to hold them up to thee and ask, O God, that you will touch their condition, whatever is needed. We think especially of our brother and sister Jordan. We have missed them, Lord, And we pray, dear God, that you will help our sister with her particular needs in her body. Lord, we know the scriptures tell us the frailties of age, but nonetheless we cry out to thee for our sister and ask that her suffering will be reduced, and that, Lord, you will help her. We know you can do this, and we pray earnestly that that will be the case. We pray for our brother as well, as he cares for his wife, that you'll give him the sufficiency to do those things. And Lord, for all the others, the ones that are among us today, we are blessed to see them. And Lord, we know that they would acknowledge they are blessed to be here, for they could be laid in a sickbed, just as we all could be. But Lord, especially we pray for Mrs. B and the Beards, and we pray for our sisters, Pine and Pinero. And we think, Lord, of Pastor and Mrs. Sachs as well, and ask that you help them to feel better this morning, whatever ways that are necessary for their bodies. Lord, we think of how people like them have the mind to push on and keep going, and sometimes the body adds limitations that are not desirable. And so we pray that you will make those two things in tension work out one with another. And Lord, we pray for our sister Worthington as well. And Lord, we just commend all these people for whom we normally pray. Think of our brother Chuck as well, that you will touch their bodies and help them. Lord, there are certainly many here who have other little ailments. And Lord, those who have concerns and worries and emotional difficulties on their hearts, and we pray for them as well. Lord, guide our assembly so that the outreach of it, the shininess of the light of it, will not grow dull or dim or be snuffed out, but that it will shine continually for the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask, Lord, to help us to be true to Him. Spare us from any way stepping away or backing off from that which is really the edge of the gospel, on that sharp two-edged sword. And help us, O Lord, with that, we pray. And we pray that we will be able to interact well with the society about us, with the local community, with the government here in the state on a national level, that our voice will not be quieted, but that we will be earnest and insistent that righteousness must be done, because it is the right thing. And so, Lord, we pray against difficulties, problems in our society, such as abortion and the homosexual agenda and the education of children in schools that turns them away from God and away from parents and away from morality. Lord, we commit these needs to Thee. We feel like so small that we cannot do anything. But Lord, we know and trust that in prayer we can have an effect, and we know that Your hand can move in these areas and cause them to be improved and helped. Lord, we are thankful that You have preserved us from some of those things. Lord, we are mindful also of the scriptures that tell us in the last days perilous times will come and things will, in general, get worse and worse and worse. We think of that passage, Lord, that tells us that one of the characteristics of those people is that they will become unthankful. And Lord, I ask that You will spare each one of us from any measure of unthankfulness, one to another and one another to Thee, to demonstrate that we recognize our dependence on one another and on Thee as we go through life's path. And so we thank You this morning, O God. We pray for our brother John, that You will empower him to speak the word boldly, clearly, and just with such conviction that will be persuasive in our ears, not only by what he says, but by what the Spirit of God takes and does with that in our hearts. Use it, we pray, to Your glory, to Your honor, to Your resplendent brightness and radiance. For, Lord, it all belongs to Thee. And we thank You for this opportunity this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
You all look like you're fed up, so we praise the Lord for your wonderful Thanksgiving days. We certainly enjoyed our home fellowship and friendship and the opportunity to read the Word and recite Bible verses and pray together. What a blessing. And this verse of Psalm 30 says to give thanks always, forever, forever, forever. May God grant it to us. So every day is really a Thanksgiving day. Praise His wonderful name. We have some big items to think about this week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the next Lord's Day, we have Monty Mills to be with us. This man has been a great blessing to our assembly before, and he comes again with a message from the Lord. He will have a series of studies on the book of Galatians. You will be given a little book that he has written on the book of Galatians. He says he will not be able to utilize all of it, but you will have it in your hands. So you come on Thursday night to start off, and Thursday and Friday at 6:30. Saturday morning, we'd like to have a breakfast at 9:00 for all of you to participate. And then at 10:00, our brother will give us the Word of God. The men will normally meet at 7:30. They will do it again. So if you brethren can just move yourselves a little bit earlier and so arrange your wives to come in some other way, that would be so wonderful. That's Saturday morning at 7:30, 9, and 10. And then next Lord's Day at Sunday school, morning meeting, and at the evening meeting. What else can I say? You ladies have to do something. Next Lord's Day at noon. That's our Christmas banquet. And we ask you to make something special. I have something special in the refrigerator here this morning, but I'm not going to share it. It was given to me this morning, a nice pumpkin pie. And maybe you can bring a pumpkin pie or something special for Christmas. Whatever you can do, so do it as unto the Lord, and we'll share it together in a wonderful banquet time. I would like to encourage, I just wish I could have every one of you here this morning to be at the Timothy training this afternoon. I know that's impossible for all of you, but for those of you who can come, we're going to be sharing some very vital concerns about the neo-evangelical movement. And if you can possibly make it, you come. This is not old hat, it's new stuff that's right up to date. And if you read the little insert from Bob Jones University, you realize what an awful situation we're in with the invasion of the world into the church and the church people sort of collapsing and being lost in the woodwork with what's going on in the world around us. I urge you to read this stuff. I have some books that are available for you to read if you want to order some, and those books will be available to those of you who want to really get zeroed in on this terrific situation. Those are all the announcements that I have now. We'll ask the men, please, to come and receive the offering. If you have some of the Lord's money that you want to participate in giving to the Lord, this is your opportunity. Thank you. Shall we stand, please? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all above and below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother James Widgeon, will you lead us in our prayer of thanksgiving, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. When our brother prayed this morning, he brought to our attention a number of people who are not well. He did not remember his in-laws, but that doesn't mean that he'd forgotten you. And we're so happy that you're able to be here this morning. We also want to remember little Carter Smith. He's had a cold for about 10 days now, and his mother is taking care of him again this morning. Just remember that little lad. I also want to call your attention that this afternoon at 3 o'clock in Havertown, Pennsylvania, our dear friend Dr. George Linhart's body will be viewed, and a service conducted there at the church where he served the Lord for, I think, over 30 years. And we rejoice in these wonderful memories. He was once at our church here, and he drove from Lancaster straight through from there. And I will still remember him coming up to our house and then giving us the Word of God. He was very, very faithful unto the Lord. He was an engineer by profession, and outside the doors of the Berwyn Bible Church during the war years, he asked me, "What would you think if I decided to go to seminary?" I said, "That'd be wonderful for me," because we went to Sunday school together, and he did. He left the profession. He was way up at the top at Illinois Institute of Technology, and he left that profession and took his studies at Dallas Theological Seminary and was a faithful man of God for many, many years. We were specifically remembering his fellowship because on Thanksgiving Day, just before my wife and I went to Africa as missionaries, we went to Port Jervis, where he was a pastor, and we had a turkey dinner together. And I think my wife did most of the cooking. But anyway, we had a wonderful time. Those are precious memories. You have those too. We had a man by the name of Pedigo who lived on Brooks Street here in Ann Arbor and was there for many, many years. And he said when he retired, he said, just wish he'd remembered all the different people whom he had met at the church so he could go and visit them. Now you stop and think about the people you meet every Lord's Day. Mark them down in a little book, not a black book, but a nice book that says, I want to remember that brother and sister in prayer. And then at an appropriate time, before you go on to be with the Lord, go and see them and say, you know, I remember you sitting in such and such a row, and we went to church together and we served the Lord together. We have precious memories of so many dear people. And we're glad that you're here this morning. And we just trust that the blessing of the Lord may be your portion as you listen to the Word of God. Now, Bill has just told me that Naomi's going to sing first this morning instead of Bill Smith. So, Naomi, we're going to have you sing for us, and then we'll sing our next hymn with our brother Yanga leading us before we hear the Word of God. Thank you so much, dear. Next hymn, Word of God Incarnate, hymn number 596, please. 596. Children are dismissed for their Bible study, please. Thank you.
You please stand with me. 596, O Word of God Incarnate.
Amen.
Was invited to preach the gospel here in town who was a medical doctor, and he declined because he wanted to go on the radio. That was Radio Bible Class, Dr. M.R. DeHaan. He took his theological training to prepare himself for the Word of God. My wife and I remember a man who wrote a book for Moody Press entitled Visits with a Doctor. You recall his name? Walter L. Wilson. He was a family physician, brother. And he left that because he found that there was a great need for the teaching and preaching the Word of God. He founded a Bible school, by the way, Kansas City, which ultimately combined with Calvary Bible College out of St. Louis, and they are still in existence in Kansas City now. There was one other man who was a very prominent individual. He's a heart specialist. Who remembers his name? In England. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I thought you would respond, sister. Martin Lloyd-Jones, yes. He found that the people who came to him needed the Lord. They didn't need his expertise in the body with the heart. These are three men who stand out in my mind as men who felt that the profession of medicine was inferior to the preaching of the gospel. Now, we haven't logged on to Don yet on this one, but he does, when he was here closer by, in Detroit and also Toledo, he'd come here at least once a month and teach the Word of God for us. And we're very grateful and thankful as parents that he took an interest in the Word of God. And whenever I call him or he calls me, I can assure you that it's not long when what he has to say about what's that going on at Miami Hospital or something else in a trauma experience, we get onto some Bible subject and begin to talk about the things of the Lord. I hope that someday, John, you will find that there are some things that are as important and perhaps even more important than surgery. Or maybe you can do the both, two of them, I don't know. But you're doing a great job up to this day, and we just thank the Lord for you, and we welcome you. For those of you who don't know, our son used to be a deacon here at our church. And when this ministry got started, I must not fail to tell you this. He would come from Hamtramck on Sunday morning. That's about 50 miles away. And have breakfast with us. And then help us to go to the schoolhouse where we were meeting. And helped us to set up. He did that along with after his marriage. And even when they had a small little child, they kept coming to us for 13 consecutive years. Never stopped. From Detroit here. And you can imagine why we are so thankful and grateful to have him preach this morning to us. God bless you, my son.
you very much. I sort of feel like the turkey that spared. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, the opportunity to open your word and to understand, to have an opportunity to look at the mind of God. And I pray that it will affect our lives this morning and be useful to us in what we do. And may we put feet to it in our own lives. In Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Oh, yes, I have to turn on my gizmo here. So I have a nasty tendency to mumble and not speak out well enough. I guess it comes from being a surgeon. You know, the archetypal surgeon yells in the operating room and throws things around and is an obnoxious turkey. I guess that's why they kill turkeys for Thanksgiving. No. So the object here is to not be that way, so I keep my voice down. In today's world, we talked about this a little bit in the Sunday school, and I wanted to read this. I've tried to read it most years for our children. It's something that I got. This is a secular book that I had in my high school that I had to study. And it's interesting because what it does is it takes different authors throughout the history of America and its past and quotes from their original writings. And this is from the original writings of William Bradford. William Bradford came over to our country on the Mayflower. He would, within a year of arrival here in the United States, what was the new world to them, would become governor of the Massachusetts colony and served in that function for off and on for nearly 30 years. And what this does, I think, is gives us some insight into the thoughts of the people of that day. It's interesting that the manuscript that was written was lost for a number of years and then was found in Europe in one of the somebody's home. I guess it had been stolen during the Revolutionary War and then transported back to England, and whoever had it sort of thought it was sort of useless and had it in his upstairs closet, and then it was brought out as a part of a estate sale. Somebody found this document, and it was the actual writings of William Bradford while he was on the ship prior to coming ashore and starting our country there in Plymouth. These are the writings of William Bradford. Being thus arrived in a good harbor, Provincetown, Mass., and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and miseries thereof, again to set their feet on the firm and stable earth, their proper element. But here I cannot but stay and make pause and stand half amazed at this poor people's present condition. And so I think will the reader, too, when he well considers the same, being thus past the vast ocean and the sea of troubles before in their preparation, as may be remembered by that which went before. They had now no friends to welcome them, no inns to entertain or to refresh their weather-beaten bodies, no houses or much less towns to seek for succor. It is recorded in Scripture as a mercy to the apostle and his shipwrecked company that the barbarians showed them no small kindness in refreshing them. But these savage barbarians, when they met with them, were readier to fill their sides full of arrows than otherwise. And for the season it was winter, and they had known the winters of the country, known them to be sharp and violent and subject to cruel and fierce storms, dangerous to travel to known places, much more to search an unknown coast. Besides, what could they see but a hideous and desolate wilderness full of wild beasts and wild men? And what multitude there might be of them they knew not, nor could they, as it were, go up to the top of Pisgah, to view from this wilderness a more goodly country to feed their hopes, for which they, soever they turn their eyes, save upward to the heavens, they could have little solace or content in respect of any outward objects. For summer being done, all things stand upon them with a weather-beaten face and a whole country full of woods, thickets, representing a wild and savage hue. If they looked behind them, there was a mighty ocean which they had passed, and now is a main bar and gulf to separate them from all the civilized parts of the world. If it be said they had shipped to succor them, it is true, but what heard they daily from the master and company but that with speed they should look out for a place with their shallop where they would be at some near distance? For the season was such as would not stir from thence till a safe harbor was discovered for them where they might be and he might go without danger. And the ship's master said that victuals consumed apace, but he must and would keep sufficient for themselves in their return. Yea, it was muttered by some that if they got not a place in time, they would turn them and their goods ashore and leave them. Let it be considered with weak hopes of supply and succor they left behind that they might bear up their minds in the sad condition and trials they were under, that they could not but be a very small. It is true, indeed, that the affections and love of their brethren in Leiden, Holland, were cordial and entire towards them, but they had little power to help them or themselves. And how the case stood between them and the merchants at their coming away has already been declared. What could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? May not and ought not the children of these fathers rightly say, our fathers were Englishmen, which came over to this great ocean and were ready to perish in this wilderness. But they cried unto the Lord and heard their voice and looked on their adversary and so forth. Let them therefore praise the Lord because He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Yea, let them which are redeemed of the Lord show how He hath delivered them from the hand of the oppressor, when they wandered in the desert wilderness out of the way and found no city to dwell in. Both hungry and thirsty, their soul was overwhelmed within them. Let them confess before the Lord His loving kindness and His wonderful works before the sons of men. I shall a little return and begin with a combination made by them. They came ashore, being the first foundation of the government in this place. It was occasioned partly by the discontent and mutinous speech that some of the strangers amongst them had let fall from them in the ship, that when they came ashore, they should use their own liberty, for none had the power to command them. The patent that they had being for Virginia and not for New England, which belonged to another company, of which the Virginia Company had nothing to do, and partly that such an act by them being done, this condition considered, might be as firm as a patent and in some respects more sure. The form was as follows, and this is the Mayflower Compact, the formation of government in our country. In the name of God, Amen. Whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, the honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and of one another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends of the aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all submission and obedience. In witness whereof, we have hitherto subscribed our names at Cape Cod the 11th of November, in the reign of our sovereign Lord, King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Domini, 1620. Did you read that for your Thanksgiving? That's what happened on the first Thanksgiving. Actually, the first Thanksgiving wouldn't happen for two more years. In that space of time, nearly 50% of the travelers on that Mayflower boat would die. Bradford goes on to describe, I won't read it for today, the events that took place in the travels and the coming of Squanto, an Indian who spoke English, understood the gospel, and was a saved man who would become a part of their colony and would die in their colony and was sent by God to help them. It's a very interesting deal. Something which is forgotten today. I didn't see any proclamations related to that. Thanksgiving is actually the time of proclamations, which fits in with what I found for today. What I did was simply to look up the word Thanksgiving in your Bible to understand what it means and where it comes from. And it astounded me what it was. The first area that I found was the word Todah. Now, that's probably meaningless to you, but it's meaningful to me because today, if you go to Israel and somebody gives you something and you want to say thank you, you use the word Todah. And yet in your Bible, it has extraordinary meaning. It comes from the word Yada, which is the first word for Thanksgiving. And the word Yada means to make a confession. And it is a key word for praise. Then comes the word Todah, which comes from Yada. And then the third word that's used in the Hebrew is Huyada, which is the word that takes this into a song. So the root is to acknowledge or confess sin, that's Yada. And the first part of this is the recognition of sin. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 5. If we're to confess sin, we have to recognize that there is sin. Real problem in today's world. It's interesting, I brought this out with the class in the Sunday school, that the reality is that the people who came to this country, these pilgrims, these men like William Bradford and others, that were, there were actually three groups in that boat. There was the ship's crew, and the ship's crew was very interested in getting them there and getting back, which you got a sense of, that they were worried about how much food was left on this boat and could they make it back without starving to death and not being in a problem. So they were very interested in just dumping the pilgrims and getting back. You then had the pilgrim group, and the pilgrims were really interested in coming to this area of the world. Not so much because they were abused. They had been in England. And because they had been in England, they went to Holland. But when they were in Holland, they were living very comfortably, thank you very much, and doing rather well. And the problem was that their children were being influenced by the Dutch. And they didn't like the influence of the Dutch upon their children. And they were rather seeing their children move away from their faith. And so to protect their children, they got on a boat and headed for the New World. The third group that was there were people who were very interested in profit, and William Bradford calls them strangers. There were people coming to the New World to make their fortune. They were going to get rich. And so that compact that was written because they were again afraid of the people who were around them that would take them away from what their original faith was. So they recognized sin. They recognized it. They understood it. They understood its effect on people. Now, it's not that we have to become monks, but it does tell you about what your attitude must be. In Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 5, we have a contemplation of David a joy of forgiveness. This is a tremendous psalm related to David's great sin with Bathsheba. And here he says, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. The word for confession there is the word yada, which is also the word for thanksgiving. And so the recognition of sin comes in the word for thanksgiving. To be thankful for something means that I recognize my state that I was in and that I was in need and somebody helped me. God of the universe, who created each one of us, gave within us the ability to choose. Sounds like Elijah, doesn't it? Or Joshua, choose you this day, as Joshua said, whom you will serve. Elijah on Mount Carmel, you can stand there today. You can be at the place where Elijah stood, where he gave his sacrifice, and he stood in front of the people of Israel, and he said, why stand you betwixt two opinions? Why are you fence post sitters? Recognize your condition and confess it before God and be thankful for what he has done for you. The two are put together. In Psalm chapter 32, we have personal. This is a personal thing, and we have to recognize this for each one of us. But it's also corporate. Turn over to Daniel chapter 9. It's also corporate. And we should be thinking about this in terms of ourselves, for our church, for people in the greater church in general. Verse number 20, I think, is really the specific one. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presented my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. It's also seen in Ezra chapter 10. Turn over to Ezra chapter 10. Here, Daniel was confessing. You know, Daniel's the guy here in chapter 9. By the way, in case you don't think that you need to confess for present sin, I would think that Daniel was probably one of the most saintly men of the Old Testament, and yet Daniel saw present sin within his life. This is at the end of his life, not at the beginning of his life. Book of Ezra and Nehemiah, right before Psalms, if I ever get to it here. Sorry. Ezra chapter 10 and verse number 1. Now while Ezra was praying, and while he was confessing and weeping and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept very bitterly for their corporate state. As a nation of people bound together by God. And so there's the recognition of personal sin, individual sin, to give thanks. And the recognition of corporate sin. By the way, the words here used for confession is the word yada. Now, that word is also used in terms of praise. It's confession of who God is and what he does. Turn over in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 86. Psalm chapter 86. The recognition of personal sin, the recognition of corporate sin, and then a recognition of God and giving him praise. Psalm chapter 86, verse number 12. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. The word yada. I recognized my condition, and I recognized my Savior. See that? I recognize who my help is coming from. My condition is horrible. My Savior is wonderful, and he will take care of it. He will take care of it. Look over in Psalm 111, verse number 1. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The word Yada. By the way, the title for this is in your Hebrew, in the Hebrew Bible, all these titles that you see above the Psalms are considered the first verse. Really, this is the second verse that you're reading. The first verse is the title, which is a praise to God and His faithfulness and justice, the word Yada. I recognize my position and I recognize my Savior, and I do it with a whole heart. Turn over to Psalm 119. I get another picture of this praise. Not only does my heart have to recognize this, and so I use my whole heart for this, but my heart has to be prepared for this. So I have to recognize my condition. I recognize my condition both personally. I recognize the condition corporately, which, by the way, I don't believe the church is doing today. I don't think the church today is seeing itself in its true condition. Not like these guys did. These guys saw their true condition. They knew their true condition. They looked at it and lived it. They said, behind me is an ocean I can't go. In front of me looks awful. Where am I going to be? And for the sake of Almighty God, I give thanks that I'm standing on this ground. That's an amazing heritage. I have the heritage because the country is here. My grandfather came to this country to avoid problems in Eastern Europe as a Jewish rabbi. And what he got in this country was the recognition of who his Savior was, and he came to know his Savior personally. But so God wants to work in our lives. In Psalm 119 and verse number 7, he tells us about the condition of our heart with the word Yada. I will praise you with an uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. We have an opportunity with thanksgiving to have the Word of God. The Word of God is evident before us, and it gives us an idea of how God wants us to be before Him. And because of that, I can have an upright heart. And so I have to prepare myself to give thanksgiving before God. If I'm going to go to God and I'm going to give Him thanks, it better be with a heart which says to God, I am thankful for what you did to me. I recognize where I was, and I know where I need to be. And so I make a move and a shift in my behavior. I make a move and a shift in my thinking. Now, I have to do this in accordance with the Lord's righteous ways, not in accordance with mine. Now, the nice thing about America is we all think that we're individuals and can do anything the way we want to do it. And if we can't get it the way we want it done, we vote the guy out of office so we can get it the way I want it done. I can't vote God out of His office. Turn over in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter 7. In verse number 17, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, not my own. And I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. God is the one who has ultimate righteousness. He is righteous. It's part of His character. He is holy. And I can see what God views as righteousness here. He puts it out in front of you just in case you miss the point. And He writes it out and He tells you what it is. The word Yada. Then comes the word Toda, which comes from that. It's a cognate of Yoda. And it means to confess of either sin or of God's character and words. I want you to turn over in your Bibles to the 100th Psalm. This uses the word toda. A song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to his people, a song of toda, thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with toda, thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. A confession of sin or of God's character and who he is. And that's what you get in this psalm, the use of the word toda. Now the word, the third word is huyada, and you've seen that the majority of where we've gotten this is from the Psalms, that this is sung. And that's another interesting thing, that the songs that we use, and I was really appreciative of the songs. I wanted to use that first one. I forgot what passage it is. The last one we sang, by the way, the music was written by a Jewish man, Felix Mendelssohn, who came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. My kids are always laughing because I'm pointing out to them all these Jewish guys. This one's Jewish and that one's Jewish, and just so that they know their heritage. That's an important thing. But Felix Mendelssohn was a man in Germany who came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and wrote music that was honoring to God. By the way, the greatest prime minister of England, other than Winston Churchill, was a Jewish man who believed in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and openly witnessed to his own people, Disraeli. Now, the last part about thanksgiving and praise is that it needs to be commanded. That is a command. Turn over in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 50, verse number 14. Praise is a command. And here the word for praise is toda, or the word for thanksgiving. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. The word is toda. It's used as a verb, and in its verb form, it's given as a command. This is not something that you can do by choice. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Look over in your New Testament. It's a different word that's used there in the New Testament. To Philippians chapter 4. The word here is a very interesting word. It's the word eucharizomai. The U stands for well. Charis is grace. Charizomai means to give freely, to give graciously and openly and freely, and so to do this in a well fashion. And in verse number 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Which is the reason why you hear in the end of prayers here the use of the word thanksgiving. This is the reason for it, and it is given as a command. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The word eucharizomai, as well as the word ekomologiai, which is confession, those two put together give you the same sense as was in the Old Testament. Now, I want to give you some ideas of thanksgiving. There's lots of them in your Bible, and I've sort of narrowed it down to a few. The first one is to. Who's it to? Psalm chapter 50, verse number 14 says it's to God. Let's go back there to Psalm chapter 50. offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High, to God. Thanksgiving is not done randomly. When we give thanks, it's a recognition of who we are, what our state is, and then to say openly to the person who has provided for us through the whole thing, to say thank you. So it recognizes a condition and it identifies the person who did something for us, and that's God. And so thanksgiving is done to somebody. When you do it personally, you're going to do it to the person who did something nice to you. So my mother made turkey and my wife made pies and my daughter made the other day spaghetti for me. I said thank you to a person, not to a place, not to some open air thing, but to a person who did something personally for me. Now, not only to God in general, but to Christ in particular. Turn over in your New Testament to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Here Paul recognizes his condition, that he was a sinful, wretched human being. In fact, Paul will often say that I was the chief of sinners, persecuting the church, doing all kinds of evil things. And yet God chose me and pulled me out and did something with me. And so here he can say, I thank Christ Jesus. I personally recognize my position. I confess before God my place and who I am and who did something for me. Now it's also done through Christ. Turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse number 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Turn over in your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's also in Hebrews chapter 13, but we don't go there. I wanted to point that out because in today's world you'll often be subjected to prayer sessions. I was at a place I was at, and this relates to, I think, where the church is at. There are sometimes prayer sessions where we talk about conversational prayer. And I bring that up because I think that this is something. I don't think that one person sits in there and says thanks for everybody. I think that each one of us need to be thankful to God for what he has done for us personally. And it's not part of a conversation. I'm having a conversation with God, but I'm not having a corporate conversation. And I have problems with that based upon that particular verse. It's true in private worship. It's in something. So it's to God. It's to Christ. It's through Christ. Now, what are the circumstances in which it's done? It's done in private worship in the Old Testament. We see that in the book of Daniel. Turn over to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel was certainly the man of prayer in the Old Testament, not that others were not, but we see it in his life. In verse number 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks. Personal. Most worship in the Bible is personal worship. Worship, by the way, means to get on your knees. That's its root meaning, is on your knees. So I have troubles with what people call worship today, because it's not done on somebody's knees when the actual root meaning of the word is on your knees. Maybe it's semantics. I don't think so. Because when you look at it, here's the view of Daniel in private, personal worship to give thanks. It's seen also in public worship. Turn over to Psalm chapter 35. Psalm chapter 35. And verse number 18. I will give thanks. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you amongst many people. At times in the Old Testament, there would be public worship. It wasn't very often, by the way. They didn't get together like we do. Now, in the intertestamental period, they got together in small groups, the synagogue. And so you have the formation of what the local church would become on that model. But if you looked at corporate worship in the Old Testament, there was very little corporate worship. They didn't get to meeting, you know, every Sabbath. They did it in their home. They did it with their family. Now, that's not to decry what we do here. God has a different thing in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, a lot of things were done privately. But here, in the assembly with people together, David praises God and thanks God. Corporate worship. So, it was in private worship, it was in public worship, and it is for some things. And let me give you five things that it is for. It's for deliverance through Christ from indwelling sin. Look at Romans chapter 7. Remember, it's to tell us about our personal condition and to confess it. So if I'm going to say thanks to God, I have to tell God what my present condition is. Romans chapter 7, verse number 23. And I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I might serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. I recognize my condition, and I need deliverance, and so I say, thank you. I say thank you for present indwelling sin. For wisdom, turn over to Romans chapter 2, verse number 23. You who make boasts in the law, do you dishonor the God? If I got this right now. Now I have that one wrong. But for wisdom and might, and I have got the chapter and verse wrong. For conversion of others, turn over to Romans chapter 6. Let's turn there. Sorry about that. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, for conversion of others. So for deliverance from present sin, for wisdom and might, and I apologize, I have the verse wrong, for conversion of others, here in Romans chapter 6, for supply of bodily needs, we do a lot of that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. For every creature of God is good, verse number 4, nothing to be refused is received with thanksgiving. Let's go back to verse number 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in a prayer, supply of our bodily needs. And then for all things, for everything that we have. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Go to verse number 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food and supply and multiply the seeds that are sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, turn over there, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when should we do this? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. I'll start actually at verse number 14. It's the beginning of the thought. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It should be done always. And the last is to be accompanied by prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Turn over in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a lot on Thanksgiving. This is certainly not exhaustive. What do you do on Thanksgiving? What do you do on Thanksgiving? What did the original guys do on Thanksgiving? They realized their present condition. They realized who their Savior was. And they got down on their knees and they gave thanks. Problem with people today, not our nation, just people today, is we don't recognize their present condition, and we certainly don't recognize who can help us. If you don't recognize the problem, you'll never recognize who's going to help you. You'll never even look. People in our world today are dying. They're going to spend eternity in hell because they don't recognize their own need. When they do recognize their own need, then they have to be presented with the Savior who can help them. The guys who landed at Plymouth Rock or in the beaches of that area and formed a community which would eventually lead to this nation realized those things. And they made a confession before God as God helped them. They realized it personally. They realized it corporately. And they gave their confession to God. They did what the Bible told them to do. And they did it in the words that the Bible used. Yada, Toda, and Huyada. Today, we sing songs that originate from those people who put into words what was in their hearts, confessing to God. And then we see what thanks is about. It's to God. It's through Jesus Christ. It's done in private worship. It's done in public worship. It's done for deliverance from present sin, for wisdom, for conversion of others, for supply of bodily needs, and for everything. And finally, it should always be accompanied by praise, and it should always be done in prayer. That's the mind of God. Not mine, but somebody else's. God's view. God's insight. And so I learned something. My dad gave me the assignment. And I had to go look it up. And I got an education on the words Yada, Toda, Huyada, and you Karidzomai. I hope it was helpful to you today. And I hope that as you go today, you will go in thanksgiving. And the thanksgiving will be a part of who you are and what you do. That the sacrifice for us, the sacrifice to God of thanksgiving, may be continually on our lips. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we could spend this morning. I thank you for what you've done in the lives of many people, those who came over to this country to find a place where they could worship you in the manner which they chose and could raise their children in the manner which they chose, and to form a government which would be effective and would be helpful to the people that were there. And they did it all with thanksgiving to the Lord God, who preserved them despite their difficulty. And I pray as we look back, that we look at difficulties in our lives, also good things that have happened, and we should be thankful for both. But in the difficulties, we see the hand of God as he moves and works in our lives and does to his pleasure to mold us, to make us into what he wants us to be, and help us to have thanksgiving in our personal understanding of who we are and what God has done for us. May we not leave today unchanged about God's view of thanks. And may it be on our lips, Lord. May we confess this openly with our mouth, with our heart, our understanding of righteousness, and with our mouth, confession is made unto God. The evidence of the changed life that is within us should be on our lips and in our actions. And may it be a part of our lives. In Christ's name we pray, with thanksgiving. Amen.